Hey, what's up? Welcome to the latest podcast here at Psych One Fanatic. Did you guys hear the new podcast on our website? Rob Gray and Jared Stansbury.
You know, I haven't had a chance to listen to that yet. I listened to
shout out to those guys.
Yeah, I listened to you and Woody. Finished that one this morning, so they are next on my list.
Yeah, give them a listen.
I will.
I think it's got some real potential because Jared's like the hopeless, romantic, optimistic, young Iowa State fan who hasn't been burned a million times.
Yeah.
And Rob is like the grizzled veteran who can put him in his place. Except Rob does it in a really like classy way. He doesn't like break the kid's heart, but he...
Rob's too nice to do that.
Rob's got like, you know, actual like facts and stuff to back up his opinions. It's fun.
See, Rob shouldn't do that. He should let him live in this fantasy world.
No, and just let him get crushed on September 5th.
Because otherwise, you're not going to be a Cyclone fan until you've actually been kicked right in the stones.
In the balls.
It's like you're not a Cowboy until you've been bucked off a horse and got back on. You're not a Cyclone fan until you've got your heart ripped out and you keep coming back to get
out
again.
Let's welcome one of the more jaded Cyclone fans of all time, Mark Charter. Mark Charter Real Estate. MarkCharter.com at Iowa Real Estate on Twitter.
That title's appropriate.
You are a jaded SOB.
Well, it's because I'm also a Cubs fan. Yeah, lifelong Cyclone fan plus Cubs fan equals Heartbreak Hotel.
I got the Vikings mixed in. Never seen
Cubs,
my team in a Super Bowl.
The Cubs are they're pretty good right now.
The Cubs are so much fun to watch.
I was having this conversation with you.
Them and the Royals, like I could watch those two teams play all the time.
Throw out a wild guess because I was talking to someone the other day. I believe, maybe naively so, that the Cubs within the next 5 years will be in the World Series. I'm not going to say they're going to win it, but they'll be there. If that happens, my plan would be to go to one of the games at Wrigley Field. 36 years old, lifelong fan. I'll make it happen. The question is, and there's no way to know until this actually happens, and we'll check then. So the first game at Wrigley Field, if it was this year, I think it'd be game three, maybe because the American League won the All-Star game, so they'd have the first two.
Yes.
They keep changing the schedule. I'm not even sure how it works anymore. But so game three, Wrigley Field this year, World Series. You go on StubHub. What is the cheapest ticket you would find? 40,000-seat stadium.
Yeah, not a big
Haven't been there since 1945. A crap load of money in the city of Chicago.
Over $1,000.
Easy.
Yeah. I was going to say $1,500.
Easy. I don't think you'd be able to find anything for less than $2,000.
Really?
I think that would be like your standing room only garbage seat.
And
honestly.
And then double down and just ask yourself like how many people would just be hanging out at the bars in Wrigleyville.
Oh, it'd be insane.
So who would go with you? Because you obviously you got to get a buddy to go with you. You don't want to go by yourself.
I'd take my pops.
You take your pops. Okay, there you go.
Take my pops. Now, let's extrapolate that and say game seven, Wrigley Field, World Series. What's the minimum price then?
Five?
Probably at least.
I wouldn't even if I were you, if I were in your because I would be similar to like if the Vikings would make a Super Bowl.
You'd want to go.
I would, but there'd be part of me too that wouldn't want to go because if they lose.
The difference like, is that's one game versus a game in a series.
No, I know, but like I would be so crushed if the Vikings ever made it to a Super Bowl. And they lost.
You don't have to worry about
so
that
anytime
soon. So what
does it matter
soon?
If you're there or you're not
Because
there.
I would be so pissed that I spent whatever it is to travel. And I'd be so pissed off if they'd lose.
So you can't just enjoy the experience.
No.
See, for me, part of it is...
Part of me has a dream to have a huge Viking Super Bowl party. Too.
You know, for me, the fun last year when I went to Game 7 of the World Series was... I'm not a Royals fan or a Giants fan. I went to spend some time with my dad, and see Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
I think I can remove myself from my team allegiance, and if they lost, they lost, and say, man, I got to see something that hasn't happened in so freaking long that it's a special event. When was the last time the Vikings were in the Super Bowl? What was
last
year?
Before I was born.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were there four times. They've lost four times in the Super Bowl.
So it was in the 70s?
Yeah, it was in the 70s.
I think 78 was last year.
I'll Google it here.
The year that I was born.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but, I think, I would go to see a game. And I don't think I'm dumb for saying it does seem likely that the Cubs would be in the World Series in the next 5 years. They're loaded.
I think they will be too.
With young talent.
Would you, if you just look at like contracts and young talent and who and they actually have money to spend too, like
they need some pitching help and they'll go out and get it.
They'll get it. That's where they'll be man, Theo's so legit.
76 was the last
76, year. 76. Thank you. You beat me.
He seems like Yeah, you probably have a lot in common. No wonder you're friends with Scott Sipker, because he's in the same boat as you. Four losses.
Yeah.
For the Bills in the Super Bowl. Very similar.
See, that's actually worse, being a Bills fan, I think, because the Bills, that's happened in our lifetime. Where the Vikings, we've never seen them get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so it hasn't,
I think,
there haven't been that heartbreaking. Well, it was 4 years in a row.
Yeah, four in a row is what's crazy.
But at least, like, for 4 years as a Bills fan, like, you had the experience of, like, thinking that your team could win the Super Bowl. Like, yeah. I'm 31.
There was one year they could have won it.
The Favre year, 98. And then the year, I think, 99, when they just got trounced by the Giants.
Yeah,
and I mean, I'm saying there's 3 years in my 31-year life
where you thought they had
where
a chance.
I legitimately thought the Vikings had a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And as a Bills fan, even though you lost, it's 4 years in a row where you're thinking, man, like, we can win this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just tired of being, like, a freaking loser. Like, going into the season knowing that my team has no chance of winning.
That you don't feel that way this year, do you?
About the Vikings?
They can't win the Super Bowl this year, no. But I think that they can in 2 years.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance they'd win the Super Bowl this year.
There's no chance for this
year. Yeah, I don't think they have a quarterback that can win a Super Bowl. I think he could take him there kind of like
You can't say that yet.
Why
I mean, because he hasn't – you got to give him time to
write him
in or out. Like, I mean, I can't say that Teddy Bridgewater is a quarterback that will win a Super Bowl for the Vikings, but I don't think
– It's too early.
It's too early to write him off, too, in my opinion.
I'm not – I think Teddy Bridgewater is a fine quarterback, but there's a difference between a fine quarterback and an NFL – someone. Basically, he's going to need a Seattle-like defense – like Russell Wilson's had to win a Super Bowl.
Well, that's fine, but I think the Vikings have a pretty damn good defense that they're building up right now.
I agree, but is it Seattle Seahawks defense?
But I think in 2 years it could be one of the best in the league.
Or is it Pittsburgh Steelers when Ben Roethlisberger won it his first year?
I truly think the Vikings defense could be one of the best in the league in 2 years.
Okay.
Top five. I think it'll be top 10 this year.
As a somewhat Vikings fan, I hope you're right.
Yeah, you're a Fairweather fan.
I'm not a Fairweather fan.
It's going to help you.
You named your dog after Brett Favre. You're not a Vikings fan.
Was Brett Favre playing for the Vikings when I did it?
It doesn't matter.
Was he playing for the Vikings when I did it?
I think any diehard Vikings fan listening would agree with me. If you name your dog after Brett Favre, you're not a Vikings
fan. I'm a Bears fan, so I hate the Vikings.
Greatest quarterback of all time. Record. I appreciate quarterbacks.
At least the Bears have won a Super Bowl in my lifetime and been to another one.
Do you remember the Super Bowl, though?
I do, yeah, because I was 7.
Oh, he is old. I keep forgetting how old
he is. I was 7 years old, so I remember that.
And, man, that probably, like, at that age, like, when your team wins. Like, I remember my one of my best friends, he's a Redskins fan, and he really is. And he was a Redskins fan when when they won that Super Bowl.
Yep.
The frickin' look on his face when he came to school the next – I mean, he's decked out. I'll never forget that. And we were in, like, second grade.
Yep.
But I still remember him walking into our classroom that day and the smile he had on his face.
I remember phases more than specific games because I was 7, and yet, yeah, I remember. And I've seen the game since then. Watched it back. But I remember I went through the phase where a lot of kids go through where you collect just whatever.
Cards.
And I'd go into a store, like we'd go into like a Walgreens or something, and I would, every time my mom would be shopping, I'd be hunting for like anything Bears related. And if you found it, like in not a sports store, but just a regular store, like a pencil, like a Bears pencil. You're like, I gotta have this, or the waste basket or whatever. So that at that point, my room was like totally decked out in all bear stuff. And I remember, too, I lived in Ames. I'd have my mom drive me down to the post office like on a Monday, and we'd get a copy of the Chicago Tribune so I could look at all the pictures from the game and like read the articles and stuff, because the Register obviously didn't have any of
that
stuff.
Don't you miss the – I mean, maybe I'm alone. I miss the glory day of the newspaper.
A little bit.
I mean, listen, I'm benefiting from the fact that newspapers are fairly irrelevant with Cyclone Fanatic, obviously. But, man, there was something special about that because we used to do the same thing with, you know, you go and buy the Sunday Register. Because I talk about it all the time. We were Hawkeye fans. I was growing up.
You could get the big peach.
Yeah, like you would go and pick that up. We didn't subscribe to the Register, but you would go and pick it up at Casey's. And I remember when Nebraska was really good, and like my dad just appreciated like Tommy Frazier. We all loved watching Tommy Frazier play. Best college player I've ever seen, still to this day. Maybe Troy Davis has an argument. That's a whole other podcast. But like, yeah, we would do the same. Stop.
Quit trolling, Gray.
Yeah. No, but I get that. Like it was a big deal to pick up the newspaper. You just don't get that anymore.
Yeah.
I used to read the sports page, the Big Peach, front to back. I'd read the cartoons.
And then Family Circus.
They need to bring that back.
They do.
The Big Peach?
I don't know why they – just the branding of it. Make your freaking internet page called the Big Peach.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's –
it was unique.
Branding would be nice, but you still have to have all the coverage that they had.
No, I know.
They were phenomenal. There's not the local coverage there used to be. You get a lot of more AP stories.
Which, unfortunately, that's just out of their control.
Yeah, no, I'm not blaming them. But, I mean, you can't just call it Big Peach and expect it to be as good as it was.
No, but I do think, like, a little branding would help the cause.
Yeah. You've been big on branding lately.
Well, it's people who don't understand it drive me insane.
Speaking of news and stuff, did you guys follow that story yesterday? About the shooting? That thing was freaking crazy,
unfortunately.
Dude.
Unfortunately.
That thing was crazy. I didn't know if you talked about it on the show or not.
No, we didn't. Just because, man, it makes me sick. Just think.
Well, the act was bad enough. The fact that he filmed himself shooting.
Yeah, the backstory of like the fiance watching it back in the control room. I mean, it just makes me sick. Like, I can't imagine.
We live, like, for the most part, like, my life is pretty good. But things like that remind you that you live in a pretty sad world. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of – and frankly, like, if there's someone that hates you enough or is crazy enough that wants to kill you, they're probably going to kill you. That's the reality. You know, they're going to sneak up on you when you're not looking, and your life can end in a second. Like, that person, 1 second she's talking to, you know, about some city council thing or whatever it was, and the next second she's getting shot. And it's – sucks, man. Sucks. Moral of the story, enjoy your family while they're around. Have fun. Go to Iowa State football games, win or lose.
Yeah.
Have fun.
With some truth to that.
There's worse things in the world than losing a football game, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, remember that, Fawcast listeners, coming up here when we lose quite a few games, which we're going to talk about here.
That's a decent transition.
Decent transition. I wish he wasn't so negative about it all the time. I wish he could.
A realist, Gray. Yeah. A realist.
Before we get it, because you wanted to pick the games.
Yeah, I want to pick game by game.
I want to just hit on a couple of news topics from yesterday's Paul Rhodes.
Okay.
Media availability. And this all happened after Woody and I recorded yesterday morning and Rob and Jared. So then our loyal podcast listeners can get takes on it. It's interesting, the thought of Alan Lazard returning punts. This isn't the first we've heard of it. This was a question asked to Paul Rhodes and I think Shane Burnham, who runs special teams, way early in fall camp, and it was mentioned that Lazard not only wanted to return punts, but they were considering him returning punts. I guess I kind of see both sides of the argument. I'll ride the fence.
Shocking.
Because I do understand, one, he wants to do it. Two, you know, you could get fired this year if you're Paul Rhodes. Put your best players out there and see what happens. But, man, that's a valuable guy. And you'd be – I think we'd all be sick to your stomachs if something were to happen to him injury-wise on punt return. It's an interesting conversation.
Let me ask an honest question here, and I'm not saying this because, well, okay, I'm the fan here, so make me sound naive, but I need some facts behind this.
Okay.
My interpretation of Lazard is that he is not that fast. That's just what I feel when I watch him on the field, when I compare him to, like, the Bundridges,
I think he's like a 4'6", 40 guy. I mean, he's not lightning.
So that's my point. Is that the guy? The sure hands, I understand that part.
Here's the deal with –
but you want a burner returning punts, do you not?
I think more importantly, you got to have a guy you can trust at punt return.
Yeah.
Like, he won't be back on kick return.
Yeah.
At punt return, like, if you've got a guy you can't trust back there, it gets really dicey. And
I mean, were we fumbling a lot of punts last year?
No, Jarvis West was pretty good.
He was a fifth-year senior who they trusted, yeah.
That is generally, like, the punt return is, like, one of the most trustworthy positions you have on your – and Alan would be that guy. But I'm with you. I mean, he's not, like, your stereotypical – Jarvis West was a stereotypical punt returner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He wasn't really fast, but he was quick. He was shifty. You could trust him. Alan's a 6'5 guy who's not a burner, but he's not slow. We'll put it that. But they
say he's gotten faster. They say he's had a nice offseason, got a little faster.
And I'm not making light of the position, by the way. I actually do have something to lend to this because I did return punts in my life.
You ran a 4.24. Well, exactly. Of course they would have you return
punts. I've done that, and the reality is, for anyone listening that has not returned punts, it's tough.
Yeah, it is.
It's tough, especially in that stadium in Ames. Maybe it'll be different now with the end zone. But the height that the ball has, the way it comes down, it's
especially
tough.
And now
the weird wind.
Now you're putting college punters, which are obviously even punting it higher and further, That's because Allen said, I think, yesterday that he returned punts in high school, but it's a different beast.
Yeah, it's
now.
A totally it's, different it's world. And the, guys, you know, are getting the, speed of, the speed of guys getting to you. Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with you guys in the sense that he doesn't seem like your prototypical guy you'd put back there. I put this on Fanatic earlier today, though. I don't understand the people that are scared about him. You know, putting him back there. I don't get that. I mean,
you can get hurt any.
It's football. Yeah, I'm sorry. At the end of the day, Alan Lazard's playing football. If he goes across the middle, he's just as likely to get hurt getting smacked there.
Couldn't agree more.
Tyler Lockett, probably the best wide receiver in all Big 12 last year. He returned kicks and punts.
Yeah, put your playmakers in the position to make plays.
When I think Why hold anything back?
When I think of a punter getting hurt or a punt returner, the only time you really see it is when they get blown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen all that
I guess
often.
I'd rather have
rules anymore almost make it impossible for it to happen.
I don't know anything about this Ryan kid, this walk-on.
Yeah.
We've seen good punt returners who are that type of guy, like Ryan Baum comes to my mind.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not anti this, but I am, I guess if I had to choose a side grade, probably be more like where you're thinking of. Just get your best players the freaking football in any way you can. Having said that, I mean – it's just, I agree with you too, Mark. It's like, man, if he was 6 foot and ran a 4.3, it'd be a lot different. But I don't know. I mean, listen, these guys, here's the deal. You got to keep this in mind, people. And if it comes to this conversation, if it comes to who the hell is the backup quarterback or whatever, these guys are coaching for their jobs. So they're going to put the best guys in the, you know, this is not a deal where you're, oh, I got to protect my guy or I got to do this. There's nothing political going on here. If they don't win, they're going to get fired.
Yeah.
So if they think Lazard's got the best opportunity for them, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing about Lazard, too. He might not have the breakaway speed to take a punt return and go 60 yards, but he's a big enough guy, he's hard enough to tackle, that maybe instead of a 4-yard return, he can get 9 just because he's not as easy to bring down.
To me, it seems like a cautious choice versus a we're going for broke choice.
That might be fair.
That's all that I'm saying.
Yeah, because going for broke, the guy you're talking about, first one that comes to my mind is Ken Lynn, the former corner. They moved him to wide receiver. He will not play much wide receiver this year.
No. Nope.
About guarantee you that.
Could be a special
but he's been
teams
told
only.
Numerous times he's one of the fastest guys, if not the fastest guy on the team. But can you trust a guy back there? But he
under the, pressure to catch the ball.
You can't trust that guy. I mean, he's never even – you know what I mean?
Well, if you're not good enough to play receiver, you're not good enough to return punts.
Yeah.
You have to have good hands to start with, period.
Yeah.
And then from there, hopefully you got moves and speed.
And you can be as fast as you want, but when guys are running right at you, are you still running that fast, or are you standing there thinking, oh, shit, I'm about to get hit?
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, Adam, about Lazard. I mean, he's not going to go down at first contact like a lot of those other guys
were. Yeah, he could probably – he gets hit. He could probably fall forward for 4 or 5 yards with a lot of guys that run down there. So, you know, I don't worry about the injury aspect for him at all. I really don't. Teams all across the country, dude. I see, too, now Carson Epps are saying he's going to play, which I think we talked about on a podcast here a couple weeks ago.
Which is interesting to me, but go
for
it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Play your best guy.
I put this on Fanatic earlier, too. If you go back in the last 10 years and you look at the freshmen that have played at Iowa State as true freshmen, they are without a doubt always Iowa State's best players, and a majority of them are in the NFL right now. So I think it's always a good thing. Iowa State hopefully can get to a point where they're recruiting well enough to where they have 4 to 5 guys every single year that can play as true freshmen.
Yeah.
That means you're bringing in really talented guys. Mm-hmm. When you redshirt your whole class, no offense, you probably struck out on a lot of these guys.
Yeah, you probably didn't recruit that well.
Now, offensive lineman, defensive lineman is a different thing, but hopefully you can get a wide receiver, a running back, a cornerback, somebody that can play as a true freshman.
That's good analysis.
So
I don't disagree with any of that.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see this Carson Epps guy. I'm excited about that.
The fact that he's going to play at wide receiver should tell you something.
Yes.
About him. Like if this was a linebacker, or you know what I mean, like that'd be one, or like a running back, like Joshua Thomas, I think will be good. But like that doesn't really tell me a lot. That tells me they have no depth at running back.
Exactly.
This is Iowa State is one of the deepest wide receiving cores in the Big 12.
Yes.
Maybe even the country, depending on how much Kool-Aid you want to drink.
We're not saying talented. We're saying deepest.
Deep.
there's a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Here. Yes.
So the point is, like, the fact that he's earned his way into the rotation is very encouraging.
And a little background on the guy. He comes from Jinx High School in Oklahoma, which I believe is one of the best high school football programs down in Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's a big deal down there. Yeah.
When he was a junior, two of the wide receivers on that team went and played Division I football. So he was kind of one of those guys that was under-recruited because he was playing behind guys as a junior that are now starting for other Big 12 schools, I believe. But he went as a senior there and set all the records for receiving and receiving yards. So the kid's obviously got a lot of talent.
What's cool, he didn't get many headlines on signing day either.
No, like we were the only BCS offer he had.
Yeah.
And he was a late – he's actually, I think, Dever Johnson's cousin.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Kind of a cool story. It's always good when these guys
– which is the guy I would have guessed would have played as a true freshman.
I was thinking Akeem Butler, but yeah. Akeem Butler's a 6'5 guy. We already have tall guys.
Yeah.
What's good about Epps is he kind of has that – you know, him and Wesley can probably split time in the slot.
Yeah, I think Wesley could be good too if he gets his head on straight.
Yeah.
Should we do the picks?
Yeah, real quick before we do that, I want to plug – Saturday's party, 5 o'clock. You lined up a band.
I got a one man band.
Oh, a one man band.
One man band.
What's his name?
Oh gosh, I knew you were gonna
Joe, right?
Jim, I believe.
Jim.
I should know.
Jim
that.
Plays acoustic sets and he plays covers.
He plays covers. Yeah, anywhere from the '70s all the way to recent stuff.
We have a pair of season tickets. We're going to give away. Any beer, pizza, appetizer you buy, you will receive a ticket. At the end of the night, we will do a drawing and give away a pair of season tickets to 2015 Iowa State football season. Also going to have a silent auction for a pair of tickets to the Iowa-Iowa State game.
Don't let Gray run it.
It's shut up.
He butchers those things.
You son of a. His name is Jay Kazmiri. I hope I'm not throwing his name out there.
I think
wrong.
The term band is inappropriate for a one person.
Yeah, what do you say? I just say one man.
He's a musician.
He's a solo act.
So, okay.
Musician.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Benchwarmers Saturday. This is usually my favorite part. I love all of our parties. This is probably my favorite though, just because everybody's in a good mood.
It's this Saturday?
Yes.
What time?
It starts at 5 is when we do the
5 o'clock.
Tickets start to be delivered, but then the band starting when?
The band probably roughly around 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yep. So he's gonna try to get there 7:30. Just get started at 8 o'clock. So
cool.
Play for a couple hours, you'll get up, do what you do best, and hopefully make some Cyclone fans day by giving them some free tickets.
Yeah, and like say, so this was cool. A random dude PM'd me on Fanatic, and he's donating a couple of tickets to Iowa State, Iowa. And he said we can auction them off and give money to a charity. So we're going to do it, give the money to the Alzheimer's Association of Iowa in honor of Coach Rhodes' mom. I think that's fitting.
That's cool. That's great.
I think that's fitting for the time of year and the situation. So we'll do that as well.
While we're talking football and plugging things, I'm going to do this before Gray runs the show here. So came up with a new idea that we're hopefully launching on KXNO soon. The premise of this idea is pretty simple. All of the hosts on KXNO plus some local celebrities like who was I thinking? Scott Sipkers of the world, The Bachelor.
Batch?
Chris Soules.
It's our guy.
Maybe like the Ed Wilsons of the world. We're finalizing a lineup, but all of these people are going to each week, hopefully, on a website, pick 5 games. So you're just going to pick against the spread. You're going to pick 5 games. Yep. It's very simple to do, but what we're going to try to do is have an actual draft that will take place on the radio. So the first person that calls in when this becomes a thing will get a pick from the pool of celebrities on who they want to team up with for the year. So they think Chris Williams is the smartest guy of the group, they'd pick Chris, or maybe Keith Murphy or Andy Fales or whoever. So that person is teamed with that host or celebrity for the rest of the year. The overall best record at the end of the year will win. And what they will win is the host themselves wins $1,000, the caller wins $1,000, and then the host will also name a charity of their choice that's going to win $1,000. So because I love the Fockers out there so much, I'm going to specifically – Fockers, those who listen to this show.
Okay.
You know this. So I'm going to specifically give a spot to a Fockcast listener to be eligible to be in this thing.
Nice.
So in order to do that, if you're interested, tweet at us. It's at Fockcast. And let me know that you're interested in this. And I'm going to pick a name out of those people that tweet at us. And I'll let you guys know how to get in, get more information, et cetera. And
you know they're good.
When the draft will be, so to speak.
They'll side with me.
Maybe. But here's the thing. Do they honestly think that you're going to win? I mean, if they won $1,000, we're talking real money here, they're going to pick the best person available.
Well, you can't pick Ross because he's just going to take Iowa every week.
Well, if Iowa's one of the choices. I mean,
can't just pick games out of nowhere. I can't say Hawaii at minus 10.
Nah, that'll be too complicated on a website to do that, I think. I think we got to have like 5 games and you pick it. That way it's a little bit more competitive. Everyone's can talk about the same games, etc. Because if you pick Hawaii, you're not going to want to talk about that on the radio. You're just not. I mean, but if it's the Iowa State game, you will. If it's the Iowa game, you will.
Okay.
And if you and Ross have to pick out of the same group of games,
yeah,
there's a little bit more back and forth on that.
That makes sense. So, that's good programming on your part.
Yeah. So anyway, so if you're interested, tweet at me on at Fawcast, and one of you will be picked as soon as this thing goes live, which will hopefully be very soon.
Okay. Sounds good. The season starts a week from today.
Oh, I'm aware. We're on it, man. We're running. We're running.
Let's roll.
Gray, back to you.
You know, see, I know you're a Debbie Downer, but are you at least excited for football?
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. I'm ready to roll.
All right. So we're going to do game by game predictions. I'm going to keep track of these just like I did for the over under. So I want to see. I want to see who's going to be right here.
Okay. Mine are already. So my point is, I've already done all this. So I'm not going to talk about it as much. I'll give my pick, and then you guys can do it because I don't want to be.
Good. The less you talk, too, typically, the better these podcasts end up being. So
go for it.
First game, obviously, next Saturday, 7 p.m., first time in the new Jack Trice Stadium, Northern Iowa. What do you got?
We're just picking winners, right?
Just winners. Well, I mean, you can do a little analysis if you want to, but you can, you know, it's your show.
Well, I you know, honestly, I'm on record saying that I think Iowa State will win this game. I don't think they'll kill you and I. If they do, great. Season's off to a good start. But I don't see Iowa State losing that game. I mean, I really don't. I would have said the same thing when they last time they played UNI and lost. But
yeah.
Iowa State by 13.
Yeah, Rhodes.
That's the spread, or you're saying they're going to win by 13?
That's what I'm saying.
Rhodes has obviously always struggled against UNI. Even when we beat him with Steel Jans, that was a game that
they got lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. Could have, should have lost that game. But I just got a feeling about this year. UNI, I think, lost a lot. They got a new coordinator, probably take them a little time to get going. I got Iowa State by 17, which that seems really high.
I remember the good old days.
It's not crazy, though.
And this was many years ago. I don't remember the exact year. Williams, Mr. Photographic Memory over there for Iowa State, probably does. But there was a game probably when I was in school where Iowa State beat UNI 45-0 at home. Do you remember that game?
No, I don't, but
45 was that was Seneca's first year, wasn't it?
I don't recall.
Was it 2001?
It could have been. I just remember. I think I went to it, and it was a slaughter.
Yeah,
God, we just don't do that anymore.
Like bad Iowa State teams used to beat those FCS teams by 3-2. But a lot of it has to do with the times. Like FCS is a lot better now than it used to be.
McCarney struggled with UNI quite a bit. He just was able to pull those out. I mean, one year I think we beat him 17-10. Another year we beat him because they missed a field goal. There was a lot of times where we were scared about UNI. So
I hate UNI.
Well, me and you both, buddy. But another team that we hate, the Iowa Hawkeyes, are on the schedule right after that, September 12th, at Jack Trice again. Who you got, Charter?
Man. You know, I obviously homer on this one, and I've already got a couple wagers out there with friends on this one. I've got to take Iowa State at home.
I don't even think you're being a homer.
I think Iowa's probably going to be a little better than Iowa State. But the home crowd, that hasn't mattered at all in this series, what, the last 5 years? Four years?
I guess here's the question. Do you think Iowa's going to be better, or do you think they're going to end up with a better record? Because those are two completely different things.
Absolutely.
It's hard. How do you tell? Unless they play the exact same schedule.
Well, you tell because which team wins. I mean, which team wins is typically the better team.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Second week of the season, I mean, are you gauging that as far as how they end up the season? Because the team in week two is way different than the team in week 12.
Obviously, injuries and certain things can change that. But, I mean, let's say last year, Iowa State goes into Kinnick. They win at Kinnick. I don't care what the records ended up. Iowa State was a better team last year.
I know. It's just really tough.
Iowa State was horrible
last
year.
That if Iowa ends up 8-4, however many games they play, 8-4, and Iowa State ends up 4-8, it's tough to make the argument that Iowa State's a better team. It just is.
Yeah.
Period.
No, I mean, there's obviously. I mean, Iowa State was not a better team than Oklahoma State the year, but Oklahoma State was 11-1 the year that they beat them. Now, if Iowa goes 6-6 in the Big Ten and Iowa State goes 3-9 or whatever, that's a little different because they're playing different schedules.
Yeah, this debate will always live.
Yeah,
as long as Iowa's playing the worst FBS schedule in the country, according to a lot of people.
And frankly, it's a dumb debate. But Iowa State, I think Iowa State wins by a touchdown or less.
Okay.
But I'm gonna take the Cyclones.
I'm already on record. I like Iowa State by a field goal.
Oh, you got a close one. A shaggy field goal.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be
field goals by Cole.
I think a really good game. I think two very even teams. I don't think Iowa State's like neck and like a lot better. I don't think Iowa's a lot better. I think I don't know who's better because it's a week before the season, but I think it's a close game. Give me the Clones.
I think both teams have a ton of question marks.
They do. That's Iowa does too. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah,
like,
both teams have a lot.
It's the same conversation over there, really.
Yeah, and
just neither, on a different scale.
Neither fan base knows what to expect. Yeah. I think Iowa State fans are probably a little bit more optimistic, just because. I mean, let's be honest. Iowa's got higher. They strive right now to be higher up than Iowa State fans. So I think Iowa State fans would be tickled pink if they went 6-6. Where if Iowa goes 6-6 this year, everyone's going to want Ferentz gone.
Yeah.
So. I think Iowa State fans are maybe feeling a little bit more overconfident in this game than maybe they should, but
probably.
I still like Iowa State by 6.
Yeah.
So
we're all in the same boat.
There's no reason for me to look at Iowa and say, uh-oh. That's my point about the game. It's not like they're going to kick our butt.
I think another important part is like the psyche of Iowa State's team. They know they can beat this team.
Yeah. And you know, let's be honest, you know what they're going to do on offense because they've done it every year. They don't change. As long as Greg Davis and Kirk Ferentz are there, they're going to be running that same offense.
Yeah,
and it'll Wally Burnham knows what to do against that offense.
The only caveat to that is Beathard's a different beast. I don't know what they're – and I'm not that impressed. I mean, he's like a 50% career completion percentage, so it's not like this is some –
But he can throw the ball 70 yards, Chris.
Well, I know.
He can throw it over the mountains right there.
We're going to see it, too. They're going to throw a lot deeper than they used to with him at QB. I think they are. Deep routes.
Are they getting a new coordinator?
I do think there's an element of, like I said with Rhodes on the Lazard thing, like your job's on the line. And I don't know if Ferentz's job is really on the line, but I do think that they're actually feeling some pressure over there.
I don't get the feeling.
They're definitely feeling pressure. I mean, you can see the changes they're making.
So my point is, they've made all those little changes. Like, will they do something? I don't know. I can't tell you that.
I think little changes like that, I think they're good, but I think it takes a couple years before you start seeing a payoff. That's just my take.
Well, so we all have Iowa State 2-0 on their way to a bowl game right now.
God. Yep.
We probably will never lose here. All right.
I have them losing to Toledo.
That's my next game. Toledo, the next weekend at Toledo on ESPN News. C-Dub's got them losing. What do you got, Charter?
So I'll admit that I do not know Toledo well.
You have not been scouting them?
I have not scouted Toledo.
You will
yet.
when the betting season comes.
I'll look into it then. That's one of those games you can see going either way very easily. It's like when Iowa State went to it reminds me of UConn.
It does remind, yeah.
That type of game.
Yep.
Their crowd won't be hard to deal with, et cetera. I mean, it's I'm gonna say Iowa State wins that game and starts the season 3-0.
I like it. I think I've said this on here before, too. I see this game a lot like Steele Jantz's first year here, where Iowa State sneaked out those first two games at home against UNI and Iowa. Yeah. They went out to UConn. They struggled in that game, but they found a way to win it late, and it was a huge win. So I think Iowa State does win that game, starts 3-0.
I hope you're right. The only reason I said loss, it's not like I don't think Toledo's better than Iowa State. I just...
You don't trust Iowa State to win?
No, I don't call it a cliche, whatever you want, but I don't think these guys know how to win yet. And I can't envision them starting off 3-0. I hope I'm wrong, because I think they're going to beat Kansas, and there's no way I see them starting off 4-0. So I've got them beating Kansas next game, and I got them losing to Toledo.
There's no way you see them starting
4-0. I don't believe that they can. No. I hope they can. I hope they prove me wrong.
Chris, they're going to be favored in three of the first four
games. Then prove it to me.
I'm just saying, like, how can you not say there's
because
no
I've
way
seen
see
these
it.
Guys, these same guys, I've seen them roll over and die so many times the last couple of years. Prove it to me.
He's talking about the Iowa State team that went down to Kansas last year and got their
and quit.
I was butts kicked. Hey, I was there, but you're saying you've seen these guys. There's a lot of guys that you haven't seen on that defense.
That's fine. And they still haven't proven to me that they're Big 12 players.
I understand. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your take that they might go 3-1 or 2-2. I just have a hard time with you being so definitive.
There's a big difference too in the Toledo game. There'll be a big difference between a 2-0 Iowa State team coming into Toledo full of confidence, having beat the Hawks, versus a 1-1 team that just lost to the Hawks. So that game's going to dictate it.
I don't believe that they'll start off 4-0. I like them the home games more.
Yep.
So of all the games that I think that they have a better opportunity to lose, it's Toledo.
So I'm perfectly cool with that.
So if they beat Toledo. Off your theory that you don't see the 4-0, if they beat Toledo,
they
are
3-0. They'll beat Kansas. Kansas is awful.
So then you don't see them losing to Kansas.
Yeah. Okay. Toledo is, in my opinion, by far the most difficult of the three non-cons.
Yep. Okay.
I would say Iowa and Toledo second would be mine.
I think Toledo would beat Iowa.
Okay.
So next is...
Toledo's like an 11-1 team.
I know they have this great running back and a fairly good quarterback, but we've seen at Iowa State, if you don't have an offensive line, what do you got? And I think they're all five guys in the offensive line are gone.
Correct, but if you dig a little deeper, all the guys who are plugging in there have played a lot, and they're like juniors and seniors. It's a system there. It's not a...
Well, it's a system everywhere, Chris. I mean, it's everywhere
you go.
It's
a proven good system, though. Like, Iowa State has a system, and it hasn't done very well. Like,
well, you got Mangino and Blaney. They've had a system. They had a system at Kansas. They have a system at Iowa State now, and they have a system that's worked. So everywhere
it hasn't worked here.
Well, it's been 1 year, though.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. They've been this is a system that's been in place in Toledo for a really long time.
But you've harped on the fact that Iowa State's offensive line is the most important aspect of this team this year, correct? You said it over and over. I feel the same way about Toledo. Then you look at Toledo. I don't care if these guys are juniors and seniors. They still – that will be their second or third game ever as starting guys as a cohesive unit against a Big 12 team. I like Iowa State there because of it.
Go ahead. Right. Hey, I hope you're right.
All right.
You act like I'm rooting against them.
I
like,
think
I don't...
you are. I mean, the closet hawk in you is starting to show again.
Ross is rubbing.
I think most fans would actually agree with me. Like, prove it. I'm at a prove it stage. Like,
I'm with you.
These guys have shown me nothing to make me think that they can start off 4-0.
I don't disagree with your take on
just
that.
Just prove it to me. That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
DeMond Tucker, I'm sure he has had a great camp. That's awesome. But I still don't know that he's a Big 12 player.
Yeah.
I hope he is, and it sounds like he is, but he hasn't shown it to me. Let's see it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Next,
bye week. Are we going to win that one?
We win that one.
I'm going to kick my feet up. I think I'm going
to
Minnesota that weekend.
Are you?
Vikings weekend.
Nice.
They got the Chargers.
See Phillip Rivers?
Yeah, no, the Blooms and us are going to go.
The question is, can we not lose that week by getting support arrested for doing something stupid?
You get the invite to the Vikings game?
No.
We only invite Vikings fans.
He doesn't invite me to
You invited Bloom.
Have you met Bloom's wife? She's a huge Vikings fan.
I know Crystal is, but Bloom will
You're going to have like a week-old baby. You weren't going to
Bloom will be cheering for the Chargers, and you know he
will. There's pretty girls around there. You can't go.
Chris, the proper etiquette, by the way, because you say like with him, you'll have a week-old baby. Well, you know that, but you're still supposed to invite him and let him say, nah, I can't make it, dude, but thanks. Thanks for the invite.
We didn't invite anybody else. It's just us and the Blooms.
All right, fair enough.
Whatever.
So after the bye week, we will win. Kansas and Ames, I think all three of us are on the same page here. Kansas is down. We are pissed from last year. We're going to kick the
shit out
of them.
It does seem improbable. By the way, the second time you've sworn on the podcast. It seems improbable that we'd be 4-0. I mean, I can see it.
You're picking
how it can happen.
You're picking it.
But just it doesn't sound right, knowing Iowa State.
It doesn't sound right, but you've been down at Iowa State for a year now.
I mean, like the practical part of me says, okay, maybe they're 4-0.
Yeah.
But I can also see them being 2-2.
Yeah.
Because they lose to Iowa and they lose to Toledo. I can see that just as easily as I can see 4-0.
Yep. But here's,
I'm with you.
Here's the cool thing about going game by game, because it's easy just to sit here and say, Iowa State's going to win three games this year. But if you actually go and you look game by game,
I know.
It gives you a little bit
of a feel. All right, I'm going to pick them to win. I'm going to pick them 4-0.
I got them 4-0. Chris got them 3-1?
3-1.
3-1. All right, on to Lubbock, down at Texas Tech the next weekend.
I got lost.
That's an L.
Yeah. You know, I don't think Texas Tech's going to be very good. This is what's going to happen.
Neither do I, but that sucks. That's a terrible road trip.
It is. And Bloom's going to write this article that's going to get everyone just jacked up. You know how Bloom writes these articles.
Yeah.
Like he did for Texas after we started 3-0 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to get pumped.
Yep.
I'm going to read it. We're going to go down there, and we're going to just lay an egg. It's going to happen.
Texas Tech's
not going to be very good.
There's something about Texas Tech that I think is a tough place to play at. Not because it's a great environment, because it's a bad one.
No, ask any former player. It's their least favorite place in the Big 12 to go. Yeah.
It's like a dumpy,
dust
bowl.
They urinate on you and stuff like that.
It's just bad, yeah.
Now, was it 4 years ago we went down there and just destroyed them?
That was the Jared Barnett game.
Yeah.
41-7.
Duck Hollis even threw in a long run
that. Yeah. No, here's the deal about that game. It's the same, to me, it's the same conversation as Toledo. I mean, pretty similar football teams as far as talent goes. That defense is atrocious. That Tech defense statistically last year was, I mean, just as bad as Iowa State's, if not worse in some categories.
Yeah.
So if Iowa State's offense is living up to its potential, very, very winnable game.
Very.
It's the same deal for me.
That game and that place reeks of like, maybe you should win, things are lined up, and you just go in there and weird stuff happens.
Yeah.
Tipped interceptions, just that type of feel to it.
I agree. So,
I think it'll be a close – I don't think they're going to lay an egg. I think it'll be a close game, but I'll pick the loss.
Yeah.
And now here's the thing, too. You start off 3-1, 4-0. The coaches will have the players full attention during the week.
Absolutely, because they have something to play for.
The carrot or the bowl game will be dangling in front of them the whole time. Mm-hmm. So the Texas Tech game, I think, will be a huge game because, obviously, it's one closer. You look at the back end of the schedule here, and we'll be getting through this. There's not a lot of winnable games.
It's brutal.
It gets really tough. So we all have a loss there.
Yes. So, well, I do. I don't want to speak for you guys.
No, he already said a loss. Charter okay. did. I said a loss.
Yeah, 4-1.
4-1, 3-2 for C-Dub. Then we come back to Ames next weekend for a top-5 team in TCU.
That's a loss. This is the unfortunate part of right now, and I think it has more to do with the status of the Big 12 than it does Iowa State even. But I was really wanting Iowa State to get to the point where there wasn't a game on the schedule where you go, there's no chance we can win. And there, in my opinion, three of those this year.
Yeah.
Steve Dace used to call them rake the lawn Saturdays.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think in any scenario, unless short of an Oklahoma State, yeah. like just a miracle, I don't think they can beat TCU, Baylor, or Oklahoma.
I can see that they, in my opinion, though, a TCU game is still entertaining because you can go yeah. watch a really
Absolutely.
Good football team.
It'd be fun, yeah.
You know?
And the crowd will be jacked. I mean, if they're 3-1, 4-0, like that'll have decent television because of Boykin and all that stuff. Like, it'll probably be a night game on Fox or something.
I think it'll be sold out.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think it'll be fun.
We come out, we're fired up, maybe play a tight first quarter, but eventually talent trumps.
This.
You know, everything
have.
Else, and I think we probably lose that game by at least 28 points.
Oh, wow.
The spread will be four touchdowns.
I don't think it's close. I really don't.
I'm with you, Mark.
Four touchdowns seems a lot in Ames. I actually happen to think that we'll play that game. I don't know why. I don't think we're going to win. I'm going to put it down as a loss, but I think it's going to be one of those games where Iowa State plays above their head, and in the third and fourth quarter, they're still in it. They still have a chance. They lose that game by like 13. I think they play that game better than they play Texas Tech down in Lubbock.
Oh, for sure.
It's just a feeling I got.
Yeah.
I disagree with that, but I understand what you're saying.
Especially if it's a night game.
I just like talent level. Iowa State's so much below TCU.
Well, talent level, we were below Okie State, too. I mean, there's crazy things that happen at night games and on the road. I think on the road is enough for Iowa State to hang in it emotionally for
three-fourths
of the game.
Yeah, whatever. We're arguing semantics now.
That's what we do.
They're 4-2.
Yeah.
4-2. Three and three
for C-Dub.
Then we go down to Baylor to get waxed next
there's
weekend.
No chance.
No, that one's over by the end of the first quarter. We suck there, period. And it'll be ugly. I'm sorry.
It's a terrible matchup.
For homers out there going, we're going to be in it. No, we're not. We're going to get hammered.
It's a terrible matchup for 99% of schools. Right
hammered.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, yeah. Let's move on.
So then we come back home. Homecoming, Texas.
I've got a win here.
All right. No, that's it. Got a win.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think Iowa State, when I look at Iowa State and then I compare the roster to its schedule, I think it's a 5-win football team. 4-5-win football team. And I'll go, I always lean the side of the Cyclone. That's what I always try to do. So I'm looking at winnable games in the Big 12, and this is one of them. So it's been close the last couple of years. I think Texas is 1 year away from taking the step that program needs to take. They have no idea, like quarterback-wise, there's no confidence there. And I think that Iowa State's offense, again, if it's living up to its potential, this is one of the teams that it can hang with.
Charlie Strong basically did a rebuild there, and they're in the middle of that, and they're going to get good. I don't have any question about that. And the last few years have been really close, which makes this game tougher for me to pick. But, again, when it comes to who's going to win head-to-head and you look at each offensive versus defensive player matchup, I think their players on their side of the ball are more talented than
ours. No question about that. Yeah.
So based on that, I'm picking Texas to win that game. I don't think they kill us. I think it's another close one, but I think Texas finds a way to do it. So 4-3.
I think your take on that was really good. The question is, I mean, is 1 year, 2 years away for Texas, because he kicked off. I mean, how many players did he kick off?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
And this is why I like Iowa State for two reasons. The first one is how we played him the last two years. Should have won both those games. Then you take the fact it's at Jack Trice, homecoming plus that. I like Iowa State. But if you look at Texas' schedule, have you seen the start of their season? They start Notre Dame in South Bend,
yep.
And they have Rice. California, which it's a Pac-12 school. Yeah. I mean, that's tough.
Cal, you never know.
Okie State, TCU, Oklahoma, Kansas State, and then Iowa State.
That's a brutal schedule.
How is that Texas team going to be when they come up to Jack Trice?
I mean, they could have two wins on that schedule.
Yeah, and so I like Iowa State there. I think Iowa State players will have more to play for. I think Texas will be down. I think they'll be beaten up on. And normally Texas is hard to be beat up on because they have so much talent and so much depth.
Yeah.
Well, they don't right now because he kicked off so many players. Yeah. They're still really young. I like Iowa State. So I got them, what is that, our fifth win now? For me?
You have them at 5, yeah. I've got them at 4-3.
4-3.
So you have them at 5-2.
5-2.
And I have them. Mark and I are at 4-3.
If they're 5-2, here's the good news for Paul Rhodes. He just kept his job.
Oh, absolutely. And beating Texas.
Just kept his job.
I mean, a big name like Texas. Yeah.
I hope that happens. I want Paul to be here for a really long time.
They just need more talent.
Well, I think I know where all three of us are going in this next game. Down in Norman.
It's a loss. Rake your lawn.
I'll watch it.
Well, I'll watch it, but
now
I'll be listening to John and Eric in the second half while raking my lawn, and then we'll
be in Vegas.
We beat them. Would have been 99. There was a time because I went to high school with Dustin Avey. He was on that team. Am I thinking about this correctly? In Norman, we beat them.
No, I don't remember this.
1999.
Three wins in Norman in history.
And it was one of them.
Yeah, it was like you're in the 90s, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's possible, is my point. This year, no.
Did you guys see today Herb Street picked Oklahoma in the playoff?
To be in the playoff?
Yeah.
Herbie did?
Yeah.
I've heard a few inklings of them being really good.
There's a lot. The Phil Steels of the world are all high on Oklahoma this year.
I feel like they are every year.
But they've laid some massive eggs lately.
I feel like every year at the start of the year, everyone gets really high in that Oklahoma team.
It's kind of a Ferentz deal where generally, you know, he's better when the expectations are low. That's kind of how Stoops has been over the years. Yeah. Like when they're like a projected national title, they can't live up to expectations. This year, most people have them at like 9-3.
Who's their quarterback this year?
They just named it Baker Mayfield.
He played as a true freshman walk-on at Texas Tech.
At Tech. That's where I know the name from.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. So I got them 4-4 now.
As do I.
5-3 for
four,
me.
Four straight losses. How are they going to rebound here?
Oklahoma State at home.
Loss.
Bring me up to speed quickly on Oklahoma State this year.
Ton of returning starters. To me, they're like Oklahoma light this year as far as their defense is going to be really good. It's weird, but there are probably more questions offensively for Oklahoma State than you wouldn't think that with a Mike Gundy coach team.
Yeah.
Their offensive coordinator is still not proven. He's like a D2 guy. But there's a lot of they return, I think, behind Baylor the most starters.
Burner back? They got that absolutely like elite
tight
class.
Hill? No, he got kicked off the team.
Okay, so that helps.
Really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to see Iowa State beating them. I'm gonna pick another loss, and we're going to 4-5.
This is like a 17-point loss.
Yeah, see, I was high on Okie. I was listening to the radio. I don't know if it was your station or somewhere else in the last couple of days, and they had the most overrated and underrated Big 12
Just
teams.
Admit it was Marty and Miller.
It wasn't Marty. I don't listen to them. But I don't remember who it was. And the person said the most overrated team in the Big 12 for this upcoming season was Oklahoma State. I find that very interesting.
Which is funny because a lot of people think they're the most underrated.
I know. That's why I was surprised to
hear
him say
it. It's a polarizing debate on this. I kind of feel like it's probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I just don't think Iowa State can beat them, though.
Iowa State's matched up pretty good with them lately.
Yeah, even last year they did.
Yeah, I mean, last year Iowa State was terrible, but that whole first half they beat up on Oklahoma State and choked it away at the end of the half.
Which led to the Jamie Pollard referee deal. Yeah.
Just catch a kickoff and you don't even have to worry about it.
We don't need to analyze it.
So 4-5, we now are the losers of 5 straight games.
I'm going to put us down for a loss there, too.
Then
we go down to Manhattan, Kansas State.
This is where I have a win.
C-Dub's got his first win ever.
Here's what I do. I'm eliminating risk here by making these picks, and I'm looking at the Big 12 teams that historically, even in bad years, Iowa State plays really tight with. And other than 2 years ago, it was a disaster down in Manhattan. They play this team tough.
Yeah.
And I think they're due. Everybody knows how much I love Bill Snyder and how much respect I have for that guy, the greatest college football coach ever, in my opinion. But I think they take a little bit of a step back. I think Iowa State gets an impressive road victory against a potential top 25
team. I just don't
know
if Iowa State has any more of the "I'm so proud to be your coach" magic
left in the bag, because that's what they need for this. You know, this that locker room moment after Iowa State just pulled off a shocker. But here's the trump card to all of this is that Iowa State, according to myself, has just lost 5 straight games.
Yeah.
This is number 6. They go down again. They're deflated at this point.
I don't even know why I play this game, to be honest with you. We're going to be winning. Going into the fourth quarter, probably up 7 to 10 points.
Blow it.
They will make a lot of small little plays that don't seem very important.
Like a third and four here.
Yep. Yeah. We will make mistakes in all the little plays that don't seem important.
Yeah, like
not picking up a third one.
Yeah.
And they will break our hearts in excruciating fashion because, in the end of the day, Bill Snyder has made a career on making sure his teams do the small things right.
Like
and
they don't jump offsides. Things like that
yeah,
kill you.
They just. Yeah.
You guys said I wasn't optimistic early, but now I'm getting a couple monkeys off our back. Texas and Kansas State.
So are you up to 5 wins now?
Yeah, we're at 5.
If they beat Texas and K-State, Rhodes has his job for sure.
Absolutely.
There's no question.
Oh, yeah. If it goes down the way I'm saying it, well, he's back.
All right, so I'm 4-6. We got, at least 2 games left
just
on the
one.
Schedule.
Oh. What? No, you're 4-7 then, aren't you?
No, I thought I had 6 losses in a row. They play 11 games or 12 games?
12 games.
Yeah,
we're off somewhere.
Where did we miss? No,
I had the first 4.
Yep. Okay. So then you had us losing to Texas Tech, 1, TCU, Baylor, Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State.
Okay, 7. Okay,
yeah, 4-7.
And seven.
I am now at this point 5-6, and you're 5-6.
Yep.
Okay. Morgantown at West Virginia.
4 bowl eligibility for you guys.
Yes, it is.
At West Virginia. William, school me on West Virginia, please.
This full disclosure, this is one Big 12 team that I really don't have much of a handle on.
Okay.
They are very confident. Holgorsen is – their defense should be – they remember that first Big 12 game that they ever played in with Baylor and just the atrocious lack of defense? Woody and I were talking about it on the podcast yesterday. But they've steadily gotten better on that side of the ball. However, I don't think their offense in the Big 12 has ever quite been what they thought. That's the difference between Big 12 and Big East football. I think it's a very mediocre Big 12 team, all things considered. But the game-by-game thing, I believe, is difficult because
like so many things change.
Yeah, and like you said, Mark, well, if they've lost 5 in a row, it's hard to imagine them. So for me, like I think Iowa State is a 5-win football team. So for me to
– yeah.
Sure, I'd love to see him get 6 and make that prediction, but I just don't think it's a bowl team.
Yeah.
So I'll pick a loss in Morgantown. But, hey, what's fun about this is if it plays out the way I've laid it out, like to be in bowl contention on that final week would be a lot of fun.
So many variables here, by the way. Am I remembering this correctly? 2 years ago, our last game of the year, we go beat them there?
Yeah, triple overtime.
Yeah, okay. So,
huge comeback.
So many variables here. Last game of the season, cold. Are we out of bowl contention at that point? According to my picks, yes, we are. So nothing really to play for. Is West Virginia in bowl contention? Have they clinched anything? Are they trying to improve? Almost impossible to pick a game that far out this early. But based on the fact that I think Morgantown, some strange stuff happens there. I've seen enough games there. Just it is. I can see Iowa State hanging in the game. But again, I don't think Iowa State wins more than 4 games this year.
Yep.
So I got them at 4-8.
Yep. Does West Virginia have more talent than Iowa State, Chris?
Well, I guess that's a subjective.
But probably.
Yeah, I mean.
Stars-wise.
Yeah, if you went through recruiting rankings, and absolutely.
So here's the thing. If I'm sitting back and I'm an outsider.
They've got
and
those JUCO D linemen that decommitted from Iowa State.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how good those guys are.
So, I mean, you look at it as an outsider. It's at West Virginia. They have more talent. Why would I not pick Iowa State? Well, because I'm a homer, Chris.
Good. I love
and
it.
I'm saying we're
good
going to a bowl game.
I love it.
And,
good job.
You know, Bloom's buddy. Right. His BFF, Dana Holgorsen, who he feels that way about Dana like you feel about Briles.
Dana Holgorsen's a whatever.
I think he's a phenomenal coordinator. He did a better job last year, but I just still don't think he's a great head coach.
I agree with you.
I think
completely.
At the end of this year, end of the season, that team kind of quits on him a little bit.
It's possible, yeah.
And I think Iowa State sneaks away, gets a victory, and
I hope
we're
you're
going
right.
bowling somewhere.
In a vacuum, this game, I'll look at it a lot like Texas Tech. It's like, yeah, I can see Iowa State winning this game. But then if you take the macro look at it, I'd be surprised if they go 6-6. But clearly, if I have them at 5-7, they're not that far off. So I hope you're right,
do
man.
You, I realize we're a Cyclone-based podcast here, but do you have the Hawks pulled up, their schedule?
No, but I can pull it up.
I want to rip through that real quick. I just want to see what I think their record's going to be, because I honestly have no idea.
Well, we know they start with Illinois State.
That's a win.
Iowa State.
That's a loss.
Pittsburgh.
At home?
They'll beat Pittsburgh at home.
All right, that's a win. That's 2-1.
Pitt's got a new coach.
Yeah, who's Pitt's new coach? Because Chris
it's
went
the,
back to Wisconsin.
What's that guy's name? I don't know.
All right, I've got him at 2-1.
Then the Fighting Dan McCarneys of North Texas at home.
3-1.
At Wisconsin.
Lost.
3-2.
Illinois at home.
4-2.
At Northwestern.
4-3.
I agree.
I actually think they'll win that one. Maryland at home.
They'll win 5-3.
At Indiana. They'll lose that game.
5-4. Indiana's tough.
Yeah, they score.
Yeah, 5-4.
They'll beat Indiana.
I'm torn on that one.
I'd switch the Northwestern and Indiana.
I got 5-4.
We're at the same spot, yeah.
Yeah, Minnesota at home.
That's a win.
That actually would be a good game.
Minnesota plays them tough, but 6-4.
Okay.
I think they'll win.
Purdue at home. Purdue's garbage.
7-4.
At Nebraska.
7-5.
Yeah.
I think they're 7-5 or 8-4. I can't imagine a scenario on their anything
they've
other
got
than
a
that.
Lot. Like, where I don't think we have a ton of iffy games, I think Iowa has a ton of iffy games.
They have 12. They have 12 iffy games.
I was trying to explain this to Ross.
I mean, North Texas, you think that's an iffy game?
Okay. North Texas sucks this year.
So 11.
Illinois State's brutal. That's like North Dakota State last year for Iowa State. I mean, I told this to Ross, and he thought I was crazy. I think they have a better chance to lose that game than they do Pitt.
Yeah,
because that Pitt game's a night game in Kinnick, and like they're gonna
the unknown. No, it's the opening game. I mean,
yeah, that's
so much
why
adrenaline
I said that. Like,
coming in,
you just don't know about those opening games. Like, there's rust. It's your first.
Next year? Do they get North Dakota State?
Yeah, that Illinois State would scare the hell out of me if I was an Iowa fan.
Well, they're probably not looking ahead to Iowa State. I wouldn't assume
they shouldn't. I don't think they will, because I think they're coaching that Illinois State's. I was explaining this to Ross and Andrew. They are better than Purdue, probably Indiana, like a lot
Illinois.
Of those crappy. Yeah, Illinois State is better than those teams.
Rutgers, Maryland, are they garbage?
Overrated. I had to look this up because I wasn't sure.
They're rated high, but they're not very good.
Yeah.
Illinois State lost last year in the championship to North Dakota State. End of the last seconds,
yes.
If I remember correctly.
Like, they're legit.
Yeah.
And they return a lot of starters.
Yeah. Northern Iowa did beat them last year, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, as a Cyclone fan, Greg, because Williams claims to not be one, as a Cyclone fan, do you root for Illinois State to win that game because you just want to hear Hawks whine for a week? Or would you rather have them win it so that we're both coming in 1-0 to face each other? Is it better to be 1-0 both teams, or they're 0-1?
I don't care to like the Iowa fans whining thing doesn't bother me. I'll be honest. When it comes to Iowa football, more so than Iowa basketball, I'd love to see them lose every freaking game. I mean, just lose them all, baby. Especially against an FCS school, because as you know, Iowa State's lost three times now in the last 7 years against FCS schools, and Iowa's, you know, you always hear they never have. So I would never rub it in. If Iowa lost this game to Illinois State, you would never hear me say one thing to an Iowa fan.
Yeah.
But deep down, I would flip
Illinois State
it.
Reminds me of Northern Illinois at Iowa, which was, I think, 2 years ago. They had the great quarterback who went to the pros. I'm drawing a blank on him. Where they went in Iowa City maybe first week of the year and beat them.
Yeah, Jordan Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it happens. I mean, those aren't the same teams.
The problem is with these FCS teams, they get like the only thing people focus on is that they're an FCS team. North Dakota State
is a lot better than a lot of FBS teams.
Yeah, Illinois State, like probably you and I, like those teams are better than Iowa State and Kansas were last year. They're better than the entire bottom tier of the Big Ten. Like and that's like this whole like the Big Ten's not going to schedule FCS teams. I admire that. I think it's great, only from a television standpoint because the television audience in. You know, the Rutgers fan, they don't give a crap about watching Illinois State, but it's going to be a better product than what a lot of these MAC teams put out onto the field.
But it's lose-lose for the Big Ten.
It is, absolutely.
And one thing people forget to realize,
and the Big 12 will do that eventually, watch.
You look at Northern Iowa and the guys they have on their team, a lot of them are people. I mean, they've got players they played at USC. Yes. And then they go and they can play you and I immediately the next year. So they transferred down a level so they can play with Adam.
Think of all the former Hawks that have gone to you and I. Benny Sapp comes to mind. He was a really good player.
Played for the Chiefs.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys like that. These are not like the
– And once those teams like Northern Iowa and North Dakota State have had success and they've had a lot of players, the guys, when they leave USC and leave these other schools, there's about four or five schools they focus on, and that's why you see Northern Iowa always good. North Dakota State's always good because they get those guys.
It's just like Snyder and the JUCOs. Yeah. The JUCOs know if I go there, this guy's going to make me good.
Yes.
You have to develop that reputation. And there's this thought out there, Iowa State just needs to take like 15 JUCOs a year. Well, that's great, but the reality of it is like seven of them are going to work out. Snyder has this system where he can build those, and that's what Farley's been able to do.
Snyder's the exception to the rule. Yes. He's not the rule because he can coach circles around everybody.
It's like trying to compare your basketball program to Duke.
He could turn Charter's 4-3 speed into an NFL player.
4-1.
4-1 speed. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
Yeah. The vampire dude. He's a brilliant coach.
He is.
I feel like this was a really hard-hitting podcast for us.
I feel good about it. I really do. I feel really solid about this podcast.
It's because we got you can feel the ether in the air. You know, football is building. The weather outside is changing, although next week it's supposed to be in the 90s.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Couldn't it be this week? This week's perfect.
Quite a few days in the 90s next week. But yeah, football, I love this time of year. Love it.
So next week, Mark, we need to record on Wednesday, right?
I believe so.
Okay,
yeah.
So that'll be fun though because games start on Thursday, so we'll be a day away.
So everyone bring their picks. How many are we doing? Five.
Five picks a week.
Five picks a week. Obviously, when NFL starts, you could pick NFL as well.
We're still undecided on the actual wager. We've talked about trophies. We've talked about a few things, but we don't have an actual.
So we will figure.
We need to do a cool trophy. That would be fun. We can do other stuff too, but I think like a trophy that we pass around would be awesome.
Okay, let's do it. If we all pitch in what x amount of bucks,
but
we
what's
should be
it
able to get
what,
nice
what's trip. It gotta it's gotta have something awesome on
yeah it. It's gotta we'll think about that.
Can you get a trophy where you're like the top of it you can replace, you can like put a different guy on the top of the trophy? I assume you could do that
pretty easily. We could take our little caricatures that Johnny Illustrated made for us and we could have them put that and we could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe we do that and the two losers are in dresses. I'll just alter that picture a little bit.
Pink dresses?
pink prom dresses.
What do you guys, have against guys that wear dresses?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing against them. You're the one who's gone on record has the problem.
Oh, really? Okay.
Charter and I are very open to it.
The world is too sensitive. I saw an article the other day about one of the Halloween costumes that'll be popular this year is the I Am Kate costume.
Oh, no.
So it's her Vanity Fair cover, you know, that was pretty famous.
Yeah.
And then a sash with Kate on it and then holding something. And, of course, lots of people are offended by it, et cetera. It's just people that get offended by things bother me.
Why not people?
I could see C-Dub pulling that off.
Maybe I will.
I think you will.
It'll make you really uncomfortable, Gray, which is the best part of life.
Guys, come join us. Have some beers and some pizza and all that good stuff with us at Benchwarmers on Saturday.
Tweet at me. Tweet at us, Fawcast, if you want to be in this little dealio I got coming up and possibly win $1,000.
Pick me. Draft me.
Yeah, we'll figure that part out later.
All right. Later, guys. Thanks for listening.